Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome. My name is Brenda Lanoff, and I'm the creator of the Mindful Healing Show and my company called Whispering Energetic Healing. I'm an intuitive practitioner, speaker, and I incorporate a lot of different healing modalities. I love to work with people around the world as to their issues, whether it's health, financial, relationships. I also really enjoy doing the shows here and bringing on really interesting people who have a story. So I am going to introduce you to a lady in a minute. Her name is Lorraine Cohen. She's a friend of mine, and she's been very inspirational, and we've done some great work together. So I want to call in Lorraine, but, you know, really the intent of the show is to show how energy healing, you know, it's a complement. It's not a conflict with Western medicine, and it's how you can use your own ability to overcome health challenges. Everybody has the ability to do that. So this is a radio show for anyone who wants to experience unique and powerful ways to complement your current practices if you're a patient, a healthcare professional, a holistic healer, or any individual looking for transformation. So, yes, I'm calling on my friend Lorraine Cohen once again. So, Lorraine, come on.
Hi, Brenda. Always a pleasure to hang out with you.
You know, Lorraine, I just want to give people some information about you before we get into it. Reverend Lorraine Cohen is internationally recognized for One Heart Coaching, Inner Grace Healing, and Higher Light Channeling. For more than 25 years, Lorraine has used her extraordinary spiritual, intuitive, and healing gifts to support women to transform past emotional wounds into wisdom, compassion, and power. A fierce advocate for her clients' transformation, she helps them to restore their innate value, purpose, self-love, and personal connection to God to create their boldest, most abundant, and meaningful life. As a popular broadcaster, she hosts the Compelling Conversation series. Her warm and engaging presentation styles make her a sought-after public speaker, media guest, and workshop leader engaging audiences worldwide. She's an international bestseller, co-author for two books, Unwavering Strength, Volume 2, and recently, Embraced by the Divine, The Emergence Women's Gateway to Power, Passion, and Purpose, and international published feature writer for Dalat Mia magazine. So, welcome, Lorraine.
Again, thank you so much for having me, Brenda.
We had our last conversation that's recorded on my website. It's July of 2014, so I'm really looking forward to just getting a really, you know, update as to you've been going through, what's occurred since that period of time into the present. Mm-hmm. And so prior to that, if you can maybe just give the audience who don't know your story just some background that led you to July of 2014 and then forward.
Mm, certainly, because a lot has happened. And when you and I initially spoke, I don't remember exactly the content that we talked about, but I'm sure that we were talking about the fact that I had been diagnosed with breast cancer in June of 2012. And then the following year, during a mammogram, there was another very small, teeny amount of cancer cells that showed up. And what I opted to do that felt really right for me in the first diagnosis was to go forward with a lumpectomy. And when faced with the traditional conventional protocols after that, I really sat with what felt right to me and did a lot of very deep inner contemplation as well as doing my due diligence to find out what I could about the process. And the conclusion that was crystal clear to me was that following a traditional protocol was the wrong decision for me. And so I opted not to do that. So when the second diagnosis in 2013, I had the opportunity to, you know, and I want to back up for a moment. I didn't really take the first diagnosis that seriously. And by that I mean I didn't make radical changes in my life. I made very small ones. It's almost as if I thought about it and did what I felt that I wanted to do, but as I look backwards, there were some more things that I could have done to support my body physically. And I'm saying that for a reason when you and I catch up. So when the second diagnosis happened, I still didn't make any physical changes, meaning with nutrition and supplements and things like that. And I was able to clear that little bit of cancer cells that had shown up through the what I feel is the energy work and the emotional healing work and mindset. That
wow.
kind of catches us up to 2015,
wow.
which was a very interesting year. So in 2015, which is, I think, the direction that you want to be going into next?
Yes.
Okay. So in 2015, right around, I'm trying to think of, it was probably sometime in February, I started to notice that there was something happening under my arm when I was doing some of my stretches. And, of course, my mind went to lots of different things. And I kept an eye on it, because it could have been anything. Anything can be happening in the lymph, glands. Ultimately, what happened was it became very clear that I needed to have it checked out because it was getting larger. And when we ran the tests, and the tests were, you know, doing a CAT scan and EKG and all that kind of stuff, what showed up was that there were cancer cells, there were about, 12 or 13 lymph nodes that were showing cancer cells. And at that point, it had become very uncomfortable in my body because the lump was pressing against my side. And of course, you know, talking to my surgeon, who is very, very traditional, and he essentially gave me four different options, and I decided that I was going to do another lumpectomy. What's interesting is that looking at the information I have now and knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done the first lumpectomy. But it was what it was, and I also know that the choices that we make, that nothing is wasted, that everything serves a purpose. And so I have to let go of any regrets that I have because at the time it was the decision that was right for me. So
right.
I opted to have another lumpectomy in March of 2015, at the end of March. And my surgeon very clearly said to me that he felt, in his belief, that unless a person follows through with the traditional chemo and radiation, that you are going to have a recurrence. And that was his prediction for me, which really got me very angry. Because my feeling is that every body is different, every person's body is different, and no one can predict for anyone what that end result is going to be. So I had a lot of difficulty with hearing that, and he also made it very clear that because I chose not to follow that route, that if anything were to show up, there was nothing further that he could do because there's just so much invasiveness that a body can take in specific areas. So I left, and everything was going quite well, and then in August, I'm chuckling because of the brilliance of our bodies and the brilliance of how, you know, our past can bring us to. I noticed that there was some recurrence happening very close to the incision under my arm, which was where the second lumpectomy was. And I remember thinking to myself that it's interesting that there was another recurrence. And the more that I dug into information, one of the series that I have watched quite consistently is a series called The Truth About Cancer. And one of the things that they share on this series is that for a doctor to say we got it all is really incorrect. That there are, you know, any time, and this is what I have come to believe, any disruption that you create with the body, it sets off some, the potential for other disruptions, if you know what I mean. So because there was one surgery, things can tend to move around in different places. So I went into meditation, and because I absolutely trust the guidance that I get, I do everything according to my guidance. And what really resonated with me was that part of the work that I am here to do, because I focus on the emotional healing and helping people to connect with their own divinity, is that part of my creating, and I'm saying creating cancer, because I definitely feel that cancer doesn't happen to us, that we are very active in the participating of the creation of any illness, sickness, disease, whatever word you use, that this is part of my work with people, is helping to change the consciousness of cancer, because as you and I have talked about, this experience for me has been full of so many blessings, so much grace, and I never once felt any fear with this diagnosis. I never did. Because
yeah, and that's amazing.
It was kind of astonishing to me too, Brenda, because the first time that I got the diagnosis, I was aware, as if I had heard somebody say, "Would you like a piece of chocolate?" I mean, I heard it, but it didn't freak me out, because I honestly believe that because there is this deep knowing inside of me that I'm just getting started in the next phase of my work, that this was never meant to be anything that would slow me down or that would deter me from my path. What I did differently in 2015 after the second lumpectomy was I got serious. And I realized that I needed to stop fooling around. I needed to stop playing around. There were things that I had thought that I needed to change, eliminating sugar, supplements, going more raw, really committing to juicing, monthly colonics, essential oils, lots of different things that I chose to do. I had conversations with people that I trust, working with an acupuncturist and massage, chiropractic. I have a lot of different professionals that I work with, as well as the daily things that I do every single day in order to build my immune system, to keep myself in a centered place, to focus on the things that bring me joy. And it's really about making a lifestyle change.
What I like about what you're saying, Lorraine, is that, you know, you're really walking your, you know, your talk here. And, you know, people can talk about cancer unless they have lived it and breathed it. It's a whole different ball game. And what I really admire about you is your courage and how you're you're just moving ahead and with your guidance as to whatever comes in, whatever's right for you, you're going with your guidance. I know in the previous interview, I was just listening to it again today, just wanted to catch up, and you know, you said something that to me is very valuable information. And for you, you know, you followed your guidance, but if a person, if they decide, if they want to go with the chemo and radiation, and if their belief that the traditional route will only help them, then great, go with that. You know, if you're encouraged to trust your guidance to work with alternative therapies, go with it, but you have to be in alignment with what will help you or it will not work.
What
so
I want
to
clarify
me,
that
with that. Was full clear.
You know, what I want to clarify on that, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because as I was just speaking a few minutes ago, that was a thought that flashed through my mind. Whatever you truly believe in is going to be the outcome that you create. So if you believe that in order to do anything, in order to heal from a cancer diagnosis, that one of the things that you must do in order to reach that success is to do chemo and radiation, then your belief is going to be aligned with that particular protocol. For me, I really had to sit with that question, because my initial response was, I am not going to do that. And so I sat with, am I saying that because I don't want to do it? Or am I saying that because I believe that it will not help me? And it was really important that I ask myself that question, because knowing myself as I do, when I don't want to do something, I don't want to do it. And I definitely didn't want to do chemo and radiation. And I got really honest. And I asked myself, do I have any resistance that is not based on an emotional reaction to not wanting to do it? And the answer was yes. I believe without any question that if I were to do chemo and radiation, it would kill me. And I have no doubt, being the powerful woman that I am, that that would happen. So it's not an option for me to even consider doing that, because within my belief system, I have no faith and trust in that as a process. And everything that I have researched supports that. So, you know, to thine own self be true. If you believe that you will fail with something, then you will likely make that possible. It's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. And there are people who have made the choice to do a combination of the traditional and non-traditional, because that is what is right for them. So there is no one-size-fits-all. I do believe it is absolutely important that a person not make a decision under duress or fear, because regrets, you can't turn back the clock with that. And there's a lot of belief that doctors know what's best for you. And they don't. And there's a lot of information about the cancer industry that's very disturbing. And I think that every person owes it to themselves to take some time to get smart about what's really right for them. That's one of the things I coach people to do, so that you're not making a decision out of fear. You're not making a decision out of pressure or something that's being imposed upon you, so that you feel good about the choice that you're making, whether it's a health decision, whether it's a financial decision, whether it's any important decision, that you feel rock solid in that choice because it's right for you, and not because somebody thinks you should do it or some authority tells you that you should do it and you are deferring to somebody else, or that you're doing something out of a state of guilt, because it's your life.
So you know, what we were talking about in was by the Cure for Cancer series, which I just thought it was brilliant. And yes, you know, doctors, some of these doctors that are telling people, well, you know, you have the next period of time, or, you know, we really have to trust our intuition and not necessarily buy into that and do our own research. You know, there's, you know, people are just human beings. You know, they're not God, and nobody has the right in my mind to tell me, you know, this is what you have, and, you know, this is what's going to occur, and that's the way that it is. And I've had that personally happen to me when I was diagnosed many years ago with rheumatoid arthritis. I was like told, there is no hope. That's it. Well, you know what? I'm on no medications. I am doing perfectly fine. But if I bought into that story,
yeah,
I would have bought into the whole story about taking these $1,500 a month drugs that I'd have to have a nurse from the city drive out to my acreage in the country and inject me once a month.
Yeah, crazy.
If I bought into that story, so please continue with that, because this is important. And I know that you had mentioned before all this craziness occurred about the cancer coaching that you do, and I think it's so vital for someone who's going through this. They need people like yourself who are going through it. And as a intuitive healer that you are, you know, you have so much to offer and so much wealth of information, and you're coming out on the other side.
Yes.
So you're a real true gift for what is needed exactly now. So thank you for doing that. And as to the coaching, can you tell people about the coaching?
Oh, sure. I would love to. Thank you. What I feel very strongly about, and obviously as you're listening to me talk, I feel very strongly about a lot of things. I truly believe that at the genesis of any health issue is an emotional component, something that is being repressed and suppressed in the body that creates stress on the autoimmune system. And while I've been working with thousands of clients all over the world for the last 30 years, I have come to recognize that there are certain emotional areas where people are really holding on to a lot of pain. One has to do with unforgiveness, most specifically unforgiveness towards themselves, repressed anger and rage, a lack of self-love, grief that they have never been able to release. And if you think about the potency of all of those types of emotions simmering beneath the surface, festering, if you will, if we're not releasing things from our body, it's creating and moving around our body in a lot of different ways. In my journey with the first cancer diagnosis, I became aware of a lot of rage and unforgiveness that I had been holding on to, things that I had known about consciously, even talked about. It didn't go deep enough and allow myself to really feel the intensity of the emotion that had been literally simmering for decades. Because cancer or any illness doesn't just pop up overnight. It occurs over a period of time. That's why to only look at the physical component of anything, because we are mind, body, spirit, is to eliminate two aspects of who we are as tri-level beings. So the work that I've done since 1988 is to help people to access what they're holding on to emotionally that is ready to be released. What layers are ready to be released so that the body is freed from having to hold and harbor those emotions, those energies in the body indefinitely, so that they can begin to heal and they can begin to thrive. So the forgiveness work, self-love, grief, so that you can come to a place of peace, and also helping people to connect with their own inspiration, with their own intuition, with their own divinity, with their sense of themselves as a soul, as a spirit living within a physical form. And when people are able to really deepen that relationship, then that's where you start to see a lot of magic and miracles happening, is in that relationship. So I always tell people that there are two essential keys to living the most vibrant, healthiest, abundant, and meaningful life, and that is standing on a strong foundation of self-love, and also the relationship you have with whoever and whatever the God is of your understanding. Because if you're not anchored in those areas, you may find that if you're only looking at a physical healing, that's where I believe a lot of recurrence happens, where people are dealing with something and then there's the appearance of something repeating itself, is because they didn't get to the heart of what was at the causal level of it. And if you're not dealing with the emotional and spiritual component, you're not, in my opinion, going to really get to the essence of a true healing, a cure, if you will, and really living your greatest life. So the emotional healing, the spiritual healing, that's the work that I do with people as part of the cancer coaching and healing, and also to help you to make the best decision for you, whether it's a health decision or any other kind of dis-ease. I'm using dis-ease because it's an imbalance within the body. It's a wake-up call for us to realize something is out of whack. Our body and its brilliance is saying something is out of whack here, and I'm trying to get your attention. And so if it shows up as cancer, so be it. But I will help you to make that decision so that you're not making it from a sense of fear, so that you're looking at the information that you need to, so that you make an informed, conscious, empowered decision. So it's really twofold.
Yes, and that's so perfect, because so many people that you get the diagnosis, and it could be other things other than cancer, but there can be a tremendous amount of pressure by family and friends with good intent, but it's coming from their base, that their fear, coming from their own base of fear. So to have this outlet of to talk to somebody who's really neutral to the situation, they're not emotionally charged like yourself. Mm-hmm. That's where a person needs to step into and get some sense. And for the fact that you have all this, I mean, you're a coach.
Yeah.
You know, you do all this healing work. I mean, it's a phenomenal opportunity to work with you, to be able to discover what's the best option for you.
Yes, and then in making that decision to also begin to do the inner healing work, so that you're clearing and coming to a place of peace and self-love inside of yourself, so that you're allowing your body to heal while you're making the best decisions.
Yes.
It really is a win-win combination. It's everything that I've done with myself. It's the work that I do with clients, and I watch how their lives change tremendously.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine after the, may have been the second diagnosis, a very, very close friend of mine. And when she heard about the second diagnosis, and she's very, very supportive, she got scared because there were two people in her life who had recently passed, and she loves me, and she got scared thinking, I don't want to lose you. So she started to encourage me to do the traditional. And I remember saying to her very lovingly but very firmly, do not project your fears onto me. I don't need them.
Uh-huh.
Because what I need you to do is to see me in health, not see me as a person with cancer. I don't need that.
Yeah.
So when I hear people say the best of intentions, and I take it that way, that they wish me to be healed, that they continue to send me love and blessings, which I am grateful for. Here's where I stand every day. I am transformed, whole and well, and in perfect health now. Energetically, I see myself, believe myself to be fully and completely healed, and I'm working with my body to catch up with that reality. I know that since I have made these changes, I work with an acupuncturist who is also a physician who I completely trust, and she has looked at what's happening with the tumor. It's not very big. In fact, it's right at the surface. It almost looks like a bruise. And she checks it out with me periodically. She does feel that it is shrinking, and it's going to take just a little bit more time. I'm okay with that. It doesn't disturb me. And I go about my life as a healthy person, not as a person who is ill. I don't see myself that way. I don't identify myself with that. I see myself as having a cancer experience, and I am so much more than that.
That's so wonderful. I have to tell you, as soon as you said that, I was thinking of my father. So he's in a senior home, and we're having dinner, and there's a man at the table, and he turns to me, and he's not that much older than myself, and he says, "I'm dying." I was like, "What? I have cancer. I'm dying." So I think he's put himself in his home, so his, and he may have many years left. He doesn't know that, but I've never heard somebody just, "I'm dying," and that's all there was to it. And I don't think he has any intention of getting any better, but he made that declaration. It was quite shocking. And he didn't look sick. I mean, I'm sure he has these cancer cells, but that was what he had chosen.
And we all have cancer cells within our body. And if you continue to say, "I am this or I am that," there's this very powerful spiritual phrase, "I am that I am." And if you identify with anything and you continue to affirm and reinforce it, brilliant people that we are, we will manifest that because we've aligned with that and we are identified with that. I don't choose to identify with a cancer diagnosis.
Uh-huh.
That's not my denial. My head is not in the sand. That is just not who I am.
Exactly. And a great question is, what have you manifested in your life to create cancer, these cancer tissues? That's a very, strong statement. What have you manifested in your life? Lorraine, I would love you. We had talked about doing some forgiveness work, and I just think this would be a really perfect time. And just in case we get some crazy energies happening again, I don't want to push our luck, So I think this would be a great opportunity to, a good time to do some forgiveness work. So for everyone here in the future, just to replay this and bring it back to this point in time for this forgiveness work. And we have this opportunity with Lorraine. So, yes, please.
Super. And I was thinking the exact same thing. Forgiveness is very, very important work. We can think that we have forgiven others or forgiven ourselves, but the person that we really harbor the most upset is really us. And just saying that you forgive yourself is just a mental exercise, because if we don't really feel it in the heart, we're just going through the motions of saying the words. And energy that is creating anything in our bodies has an emotional charge to it. So if it's just words without the emotions and feeling it in your heart, it's really not going anywhere. So I do a lot of emotional healing with people, as I mentioned, and one of the places I see people that get stuck is on this unforgiveness, where it's also tied on to a lot of a lack of ability to love themselves and also a lot of anger and resentment. When I was looking at my own diagnosis and dug a little deeper into unforgiveness, I found myself relaying a story related to my mother, something that had happened in a conversation with her when I was about 28 years old that I believe contributed to the first diagnosis. And I found myself sitting with some questions. So what I invite people to do, you can feel into these questions or replay this broadcast so that you can write these questions down, because whether it's a health diagnosis, whether it's a financial situation that you find yourself in, whether it's a challenge with a relationship, anything where you may be upset with yourself, these questions are so powerful that they can create a shift. So here's the first question. And you can just kind of think of any situation. It could even be a health situation. What if this situation that you find yourself in was created, was divinely created by you, so that it would bring you closer to your own divinity? It would bring you closer to who you really are. And it's taken this form because it was the only way to get your attention to make you stop and question. Could you forgive yourself? Let me say that again, maybe a little bit differently. In whatever situation that you might apply this question to, what if it was brilliantly designed and created in order to bring you more deeply inside of yourself so that you could connect with your spirit? And this was the only way. Hope you get there. Could you forgive yourself? And here's another question. This was very pertinent to me. What if the situation that you find yourself in was brilliantly designed because it was part of your purpose to be able to be of help to other people? And you came into this life with the intention of having this experience so that you could be there for others, having been there and done that. Could you forgive yourself for any upset that you're holding towards yourself? Because this is part of your divine plan. Could you forgive yourself? Two very powerful questions. So, Brenda, I'm curious, having heard those questions, what did they bring up for you?
Oh, my whole journey as to my health issues, which, you know, started off actually after the death of my mother who died of cancer. So after she died of cancer, it started off with fibromyalgia, endometriosis, rheumatoid arthritis. I had a heart cardiac arrest. I passed over. They brought me back. I am here, I'm doing my work, and that is what I needed to go through so that I can be of service.
Yes. So you could have looked at all of that, and you could have gotten upset with yourself, you could have gone into some judgments about some of the choices that you made that you felt contributed.
And I did, Lorraine. So this has been a process because this has happened over decades. But I was in anger, and I was like, I'm so tired of this, and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until, God was saying, okay, you're not listening to me. Okay, here comes the cardiac arrest. Mm. And it was then that clarity came in for me. It's like, okay, now I just came in with this new energy of like, I'm here, I'm not going away, and okay, watch out, world. But it took that much. But no, I definitely was a victim for a long time.
Yes.
You know, the single parent, blah blah blah, this old story that I carried around. Why can't anybody understand me, etc. So I love these questions. They're deep, deep questions, and it really does make you think.
Yes. What I have found, there's another question that I have posed to people. And the question is, and can be related to what I'm saying here, invariably what happens in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we do blame ourselves for the choices that we make. And sometimes we think that we've made the right choices. I wanted to think about how I wanted to say that. So another question to ask yourself is, what if, in looking at, again, whatever situation that you're using these questions for, what if as you look at the choices that you made that you felt were the best or the right decisions for you, and you discovered that they were all based on fear and misdirection, could you forgive yourself? And the reason why that's such an important question is, and it's one that I've come back to over and over, one of the places that I still have some emotional stickiness is, I can sit here and I can say to you, I know when I look at this whole cancer experience from a higher perspective, that every decision that I made was the best decision that I could make in that moment based on what I knew, where my consciousness was, the information that I had. Those decisions felt right. Hindsight, wonderful thing about hindsight. We look back and we say, if I had known this, if I had done that, then I would have made some different choices. All of that is true. Would they have brought you to a better place? Unknown. So when I look at what I know now and my decision with the first cancer diagnosis, I can tell you without a doubt, I would never have had the first lumpectomy at all, but I did. And looking at the string of things that have happened that have brought me to this place and the way that my own service and my work has unfolded, I see the brilliance in all of that, and there's still a part of me that wishes that I hadn't done the first lumpectomy. So I have to reconcile with that.
And it would be ongoing.
So, you know, there's still a little bit more forgiveness and self-love work that I see that I need to do, because I still have, it's like a little pebble in my shoe. It's still like a little, And as a result of that, I don't want it to grow into anything more than however small it is so that I can let it go. And part of that is continuing to reiterate that every decision and choice that we make is based on what we know at the time, our level of consciousness, the information that we have, and we truly are doing our very best in that moment. It's what we learn going forward that makes a difference. And I'm making some very different choices now that I will probably, that, you know, that I could certainly at some later date look back in hindsight and do the same thing, but I'm doing the best I can. That's all you can do.
Well, we're only human, and I agree. And the forgiveness, and, you know, with cancer or any disease, is there so many factors? It could be you don't forgive yourself for the financial choices you've made that brought you to a particular situation today, because that energy then also affects your immune system, which lowers your, you know, related to cancer. So there's all these factors of forgiveness, areas of forgiveness that we need to look at. This is a huge one, Lorraine. When you talk about forgiveness, you know, it might sound kind of, well, yes, we need to forgive, but this is serious, serious work.
It's a very,
that we
very
need to look at.
Piece of work, yes. Forgiveness,
and
grief, self-love, anger, all of those are very deep areas, and they require unpacking. You have to be willing to invest the time and energy, the courage and the strength to get the support that you need to be able to let these energies go, because we are energy beings. And if, again, if we're not releasing this energy, the energy is creating. If it's not body, it's creating inside of your body. And it is impacting and creating stress on every part of you, including your autoimmune system. Period.
You know, Lorraine, if somebody wanted to talk to you, just for example, I have a young friend whose mother is not doing very well right now. And, you know, I'm just thinking, as this forgiveness, I really believe that this is something that is essential for her within her time here on Earth. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you and, you know, have these conversations and really do that, the deep work, how would they get in contact with you? Can you give us some information here, please, your website, some information that you can we can just pass out to people now?
Sure. Thank you so much for asking. If they go to my website, LorraineCohen.com, LorraineCohen.com, you'll see on my homepage there is a number of links to all of the services that I provide. And I offer consultations as well as ongoing sessions with people who are ready to do this work. And
okay.
I've got a very broad toolbox. So, you know, the way that I work with people is individual. It's not one size fits all. And I meet people where they are so that they can begin to look at and work through whatever it is that they're ready to work with.
Yes. And I'm just looking at your website. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And very beautiful energies with it. So, yes, for anyone who needs some coaching, I really would recommend talk to Lorraine. She's living it and, again, breathing it. So she is the person. Well, that's great. Is there any other thing that's happening or that's happening with you? Now, I just very briefly before we go here, there is a book that you're,
yes.
you have contributed, a beautiful book, Embraced by the Divine. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm so excited about this book. It's actually the second book that I have co-authored that has reached bestseller status. The Kindle version of Embraced by the Divine became a runaway bestseller in December of 2014. The other book that I'm a co-author of is Unwavering Strength, Volume 2. And in Embraced by the Divine, the chapter that I wrote is Getting Raw, Bungee Jumping into the Abyss. And I talk about part of my spiritual journey, my cancer diagnosis, as well as some of the emotional places that it brought me to, including questioning, is it time for me to go? And in it, I also share a process that I do with my clients to help them to work through the emotional reactions that come up in ways that don't stuff the emotions down so that they can really release it permanently and move through it with as much grace as possible. The other stories in the book are quite extraordinary. We've got wonderful reviews coming in of people who have laughed and cried and felt that they couldn't put the book down. Everybody's very raw. There's about 17 of us. We've all gone through a variety of different experiences, the loss of a child, the loss of $1 million, the loss of a build, loss of a business. It's stories about turning any life situation from a tragedy to a triumph. And everybody in the book has shared different processes and strategies and tips that I think anybody can relate to, especially now with everything that's happening in people's lives, so that it will likely be a book that you turn to over and over again to remind you of how incredible, magnificent, powerful you truly are, and also give you some tips so that you can navigate any situation and feel as if you're really the master of your own life. So the book, the soft cover book, launches on January 21st. We're so excited and inviting people to please celebrate with us, experience the stories. Just reading the book will create transformation. The artist who did the cover, who is just extraordinary, is also gifting to one lucky person a signed piece of work. So that's something that's an additional perk because she is brilliant. Her artwork is just full of energy. She's just gorgeous. So join us.
Yes. I have my Kindle, so it is. I was so pleased to when that was released just last month, I guess it was.
Yes.
So very grateful for that. And,
yeah. So all you have to do is just go to embracebythedivine.com. You can actually order the book now. You don't even have to wait for it. But why don't you wait until January 21st so that you can help us become a bestseller again?
Ah, good idea. Great. Well, thank you so much, Lorraine. I'm so pleased for you. I just think your service is, well, it's essential. It's just essential. And with diagnosis that I've heard with cancer, and I hope it's not true, but on the increase, we need to get word out. You know, there's people there that can help you in so many ways. So
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And, Brenda, thank you for the great work that you yourself are doing. I love working with you. I love knowing that you're out there in the world, and also want to acknowledge you for all the different health issues that you've walked through, very clearly telling the universe, I'm not going, so watch me. So thank
you. Exactly. Watch me. So thank you once again, Lorraine, and we'll be in touch. And my website to check out, if you would like a discovery session, you can just contact me at whisperingenergetic.ca. That's whisperingenergetic.ca. So thanks once again, Lorraine, and we will be in touch shortly.
Wonderful.
And best
thank
to you,
you
with
Brenda.
This launching. Yeah, that it's exciting. I'm really pleased for you guys. So,
thank you so
okay.
much. Love to you, my friend.
Yes, you too. Take care.
You too.
Bye, everyone.